Well, hello, Love Radio Network family. Hello, Love Studios USA family. This is Pastor Dawn Churchill. I'm so excited to be with you here today. We are going to do a very short mini series about triggered trauma, about trauma, how it kind of gets stuck into not just into our body, but also into our mind, will, and emotions, and then how it that translates into making sometimes mindset mastery just a little bit difficult. And so, however, if I haven't already said, if you have been following our program from week to week, I want to make sure that you go and visit our website, which is dawnchurchill.org. And I also want you to visit our institute, which is Dawn Churchill Institute on teachable.com. And so I'm going to be sharing you today with what triggered trauma is, or what stored trauma is, and then how it affects you. So if you give me just a second, I'm going to pull up my notes here and we will get started. So I serve as a Christ-empowered transformational life coach, author, speaker, and pastor, and I actually am the creator of something called Moving Women from Broken to Blossoming, which is a comprehensive trauma recovery program. So trauma is one of those things that I kind of specialize in, and I didn't come to specialize in it by choice. It was actually something that I had to overcome in my own life, which took quite a few years. But as a result of the work that I do, my clients, and most of them, have had some sort of past sexual trauma. They reclaim their lives from the lingering effects of either narcissistic abuse or sexual trauma. And by the grace of God, they go from depressed to hopeful, from fearful and anxious to fiercely confident, from suicidal to joyful, from addictions and eating disorders to peaceful contentedness, and from illness and sickness to vibrantly healthy. And so what I do on this particular podcast, on this show, is I am sharing with you some of the nuggets, some of the teaching principles, some of the strategies that I use with my clients every day to get them out of triggered trauma, to destroy all of the roots of stored trauma in their mind, will, and emotions, and even in their physical bodies. So in short, once my clients, you know, finish their programs with me, they actually become radically restored physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even financially by the grace and the power and the goodness of God. So what I want to do today is, I want to share with you what trauma is. Okay, so contrary to popular belief, most people think that trauma is what happened to you. So I'm going to give you a list of things that trauma really is not. So trauma is not the frequent beatings you might have experienced as a child from a mother or father or caregiver. It's not the repeated acts of sexual abuse or rape you may have experienced. It is not even the multiple times that maybe you were abandoned or neglected by a loved one, either as a child or in the present. Trauma is not the horrific words of mental or emotional cruelty or ridicule or criticism that you may have heard throughout your entire life. Trauma is not the multiple deaths of loved ones or loss of relationships that you've endured. And it's even, believe it or not, trauma is not even the car accidents, the surgeries, or the catastrophic natural disasters that you may have lived through. So trauma is not the moments of poverty, scarcity, lack, or financial ruin you may have experienced. It's not the manipulations, isolation, control, or gaslighting from a narcissistic parent or a partner. It's not even the terrifying events of ritualistic satanic abuse. Trauma is, in a sense, not what happened to you. Let me say that again. Trauma is not what happened to you. Trauma, or stored trauma that then gets triggered in the present from past traumatic events, is what you believed about yourself, about others, and even about God himself as a result of the traumatic event that you experienced. So I'm going to say that again. Stored trauma or stored trauma that is stored in your mind, will, and emotions, it also actually gets stored physiologically in your central nervous system. It is not what happened to you. It's not what you experienced. It is what you came to believe as a result of those experiences. And so it's what you believed about yourself. It's what you believed about people in general. It's also what you believed about specific people. And it even is about what you deeply believed about God himself. And so what happens is that these deeply rooted beliefs, they have long-term effects on us physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even financially. And so the best way for me to describe it is these thoughts or feelings or emotions, or I should say a combination of them, that we have all experienced in life from traumatic moments. These are the things that get kind of stuck inside of us, for lack of better words. And the reason why I decided to do a mini series on trauma is because in the area of mindset mastery, so as you are learning how to renew your mind with the Word of God, as you are learning how to build up your identity in Him as a beloved son or daughter of the Most High Living God, as you are beginning to come into awareness of all of the goodness that God desires for you to walk in every day of your life, what happens is we kind of bump up against these internal obstacles, these internal strongholds, these internal, they kind of feel like these great big tree trunks that are like deeply rooted in us that we don't know how to get past them, if that makes sense. So really these thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs, kind of all culminatively, they get lodged and solidified. They take root. They grow exponentially into the true core beliefs that form the framework of our psyche, our mind, our will, our emotions, and our choices. I'm going to say that again. When we have experienced, it could be one traumatic moment, it could be a gazillion traumatic moments. But when we have experienced those things and we have not been able to receive complete healing from God, and we have not been able to bring closure to those moments, then the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, even the physical responses from those moments, they get stuck inside of us. They get lodged and solidified into our thought processes, into our belief systems. They even get lodged and solidified into the cells of our body, specifically our central nervous system, but as well as they actually get lodged in other areas of our physiology. And so if they're not dealt with, if we don't receive healing, if we don't bring closure to them, they actually grow these deeper roots. And they begin to grow exponentially. And then again, it truly affects our core beliefs. And our core beliefs are those things that form the framework of our psyche. And so these are the things that I can tell you a good example is this. Whenever you are under stress, whenever you are under a stressful moment where whether it's a stressful financial situation, whether it's a stressful moment at work, whether it's a stressful moment driving the car in traffic, whether it is a stressful moment with your partner, your spouse, whether it's a stressful moment with your children, it doesn't matter what it is. When you are under stress, it is kind of like a pressure cooker. And what happens is that pressure cooker causes steam, you know, to rise to the surface, right? When the stresses of life begin to put pressure on us, what is deep down within us rises to the surface, and it comes forth in our thoughts and our words, okay? So these core beliefs that we've all experienced from some measure of trauma in our life, because we live in a fallen world, there's absolutely nobody that is that has not experienced some sort of traumatic event. So these kind of create a landing strip for lack of words, a landing strip literally inside of our physiology inside of the physical cells of our body, rooted in our central nervous system, by which then we will experience physical and emotional symptoms of whatever we experienced, whatever we believed in that traumatic moment in the past. So this could be fear, terror, distrust, anger, rage, hostility, bitterness, hatred, resentment. And we can experience these occasionally, like they can kind of erupt, so to speak, occasionally or frequently. They rise to the surface and they erupt as a trigger that we have hopefully learned how to manage or cope with to some degree, but by which most of us have not experienced true healing. Okay, so in order to be truly healed, truly delivered, truly set free from the chains of triggered responses due to past trauma, you need something much more potent than mere coping mechanisms. Now, I am not against normal talk therapy. Normal talk therapy provides clients with an opportunity to have an educated sounding board, someone that can possibly give them a better perspective on their situation, help them to see it from a different viewpoint, and then be able to take that viewpoint and begin to cope with or manage the frequent eruptions of triggered trauma. But if you want to no longer have those triggers kind of every time you experience a similar situation, then what you need is you need healing, not just coping mechanisms. So as I said, you need something a little bit more potent than mere coping mechanisms. You need something definitely more powerful than medications that dampen or partially mask, but don't necessarily heal the sources of trauma. So you need something that's more effective than addictive sources of self-soothing comfort or behaviors. How many of you, most of us, unless you're just an extremely disciplined person, most of us have at least one self-soothing comfort or behavior that we either turn to frequently or we turn to occasionally when we are stressed. So it could be overeating. It could be sugar or chocolate. It happens to be one of mine. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs that are not necessarily medicated by a doctor. It could be a spending habit. It could be, going to the racetrack and gambling. It could be some form of diversion, like, you know, scrolling on social media for long periods of time or going through multiple YouTube videos because it distracts you from how yucky you're feeling in the moment, okay? But in my opinion, you need, if you want to no longer have to deal with triggered trauma in the present from things that you've experienced in the past, then you need an integrative healing approach that addresses all four areas of trauma roots: physical, which is biological, mental, emotional, and spiritual. I'm going to say that again. If think of somebody that you know that has anger management issues, that they're just constantly angry, right? And so they are frequently impatient. They are frequently irritated. It doesn't take a whole lot to set them off, right? And so either, hopefully, they're trying to manage that to some degree. But if that person wants to be going to an anger management course or therapy sessions for, you know, for 12 weeks in a row, whatever, I'm not saying that it won't help them to some degree to manage the anger issues that they have. But if you no longer want to be triggered by uncontrollable anger, then you need to heal the sources of that anger. And the only way to do that, in my opinion, is to have an integrative healing approach that addresses all four areas of the anger roots. So they are physiological, they are mental, they are emotional, and they are spiritual. And so this is just what I happen to do. This is one of my areas of expertise that I primarily minister to and work with women that have significant past trauma, usually sexual abuse and or narcissistic abuse. So the problem is that you cannot treat any one of the four roots of stored trauma that begins to trigger frequently. You can't just treat one of those roots and get to the bottom of the problem. You need someone or something that can help you address all four of these root areas simultaneously. Now, how did I discover this? Whew, Lord Jesus. Okay. Well, first of all, if you were really kind of taking notes on some of the things that I was at the beginning of our episode today of me telling you that, you know, what trauma isn't, all of those different examples that I gave you, I have personally experienced in my life. And I'm not going to review the list, but if you go back and you watch the beginning of this episode again, you will understand that actually I was talking about my own life. And so I really experienced stored trauma and triggered trauma responses for about 25 years of my adult life, 25 years of my adult life. It took me roughly about 12 years, hours and hours and hours of time on my face before God, months and months of research. I did research and read a lot of books, and a determination to get myself healed at all costs. It led me to be into a position to receive from God, honestly, inspired revelations that he's given me. Now, I won't say that some of it didn't come from reading. I always credit authors that have really ministered to me greatly. But it was the combination of things that God really taught me in the place of prayer and in the place of study, that really all I was trying to do was I was just trying to get myself healed. I thought that I was going through this process just for my own healing journey. But those revelations began to be the foundation with which I began to write coaching content. And so my flagship coaching product is called 21 Day Mindset Reset. And as I began to write that coaching program and I began to implement it with clients, we kept coming up against roadblocks. We kept coming up against internal obstacles that I couldn't get them to press through, right? And so that is, it took me back to, okay, how did I press through those internal barriers? And so that is, in a nutshell, what I teach my clients in our Moving Women from Broken to Blossoming program. I'm really just sharing that with you. But what we're going to do is, I'm going to give you an example. We're going to go to, I think, at least one piece of scripture today. And today is a little bit different than episodes I've done in the past. This mini-series is going to be a little bit less of me giving you all that encouragement and inspiration and more of me explaining to you why you might be experiencing internal roadblocks or barriers that you have a hard time pressing through when you are trying to renew your mind with the Word of God, when you are trying to press into that place of protection and peace and provision, like supernatural peace, supernatural provision from the courts of heaven, supernatural protection over his life instead of you having to provide all those things for you. So today I'm just going to give you, I'm going to give you an example that is rooted in fear. And one of our previous episode series was on defeating or annihilating the spirit of fear. So after you've listened to today's episode, if you want to go back and listen to some of the episodes in that series, I think it'll be helpful for you. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to say some words. I'm just going to kind of read them. And I'm going to say them kind of slowly. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to rate how frequently and or how potently, how significantly you experience these particular trigger symptoms. I'm going to say that again. I want you to get out a piece of paper and a notepad. I want you on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to write down, you know, 1 being the least significant, 10 being the most traumatic, how frequently or how potently, how significantly you experience these particular trigger symptoms, and they're all related to fear, but here we go. Anxiety, dread, worry, stress, running away, either physically or emotionally, which is withdrawing, avoidance, hiding or hiding could also be withdrawing. Fear, terror, panic attacks, self-doubt, distrust of others, not trusting God, and or nervous uneasiness. Okay, all of us have experienced at least some of those at some point in our life. But if you are someone, so if you wrote numbers 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to most of those words, then you have a stronghold of fear in your life that needs to be healed. Okay, so these were all variations of fear. And I'm going to kind of share with you what those symptoms of fear, how they express themselves physiologically as well as mentally and emotionally. Okay, so physiologically in your physical body, when you are feeling fear, doubt, worry, you know, things like that, you could have a fast heart rate. You could definitely have an inability to focus or concentrate. So when you are stressing out, you know, mentally about something, it's going to be difficult for you to focus or concentrate fully on something else, okay? It could be troubles with memory recall or memory retention. It can exhibit itself as learning disabilities, ADD or ADHD. Physically, it can manifest as panic attacks, nervous jitters, nausea, restless leg syndrome, insomnia. Like I could go on and on and on and on, okay? Mentally and emotionally, it could be excessive worry. It could be that scatterbrained feeling, like, you know, your mind is just, your thoughts are just all over the place all the time. Could be feeling panicky, wanting to run away or leave, jumbled thoughts, acute fixation on a topic or a situation, especially the one that is besetting you with fear or anxiety. It can manifest itself as brain fog, paranoia, phobias, magnification. Magnification is when you are thinking about a particular situation or a particular problem at hand. And because of the fear that is rooted in your system, this situation is magnified. Like if you share this with somebody else would go, okay, you need to take a chill pill because this is not as bad as you are, you know, as you are describing it to be. Okay, so now I'm going to explain how that trauma trigger then manifests itself in the present. So a trauma, let's see if you can say that 5 times in a row. A trauma trigger is when you are experiencing a conversation or a situation in the present, and it makes you feel like it makes you feel like a past traumatic fearful moment. And we're just talking about fear. Of course, there are strongholds. There are stored trauma that is anger or rage. There is stored trauma of bitterness and resentment. There's many different types of stored trauma that then gets triggered in the present. But we're just talking about fear. Okay. All right. So again, a trauma trigger we're talking about fear is when you're experiencing a conversation in the present or a situation in the present, and it makes you feel like a past traumatic, fearful moment. And so all of those physical, emotional, and mental feelings of fear rise to the surface, and they kind of temporarily take over your mind, your will, your emotions, and even your choices. Okay? So that trigger trauma, which in all honesty is an unhealed soul wound. I'm going to say that again. That triggered trauma is an unhealed soul wound. It not only makes you feel like you once felt in a previous traumatically fearful moment, but it causes those core beliefs that you originally believed in that original fearful moment, it then causes you to be swallowed up in the present moment by those core beliefs. And I'm going to give you an example. So, but first, I want to share, scripture with you really quickly. And it is Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And it says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I always say, as a man or a woman thinks and believes in his or her heart, so is he or she. Okay. So, I'm going to give you an example of this that hopefully you can relate with. And hopefully this is going to be one of those kind of Mickey Mouse examples, because I could give you much, much, much more significantly potent examples of past fearful moments. Okay. All right. So when I was a little girl, I was 5 or 6 years old, and I wanted to learn how to ride my bike without my training wheels. And I don't really remember exactly why, but I don't remember my parents being around a lot to help me in that moment, right? And so I use this example with my clients a lot. So what happened? So I got up on the bike and I start trying to ride, and I fall down, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's okay. I got this. I can do this, right? And so time after time after time after time, I just kept falling down. You know, I couldn't learn how to find my center balance, right? And one of the times I fell down, I really scraped my knee pretty badly. Like it was like on gravel, and it was pretty bloody. It was gross. Okay. So I'm sure that I'm not the only little one that experienced difficulty in learning how to ride a bike. Now, in that moment, if I remember correctly, here are some of the things that I mentally thought and emotionally felt in that moment. Number one, there was nobody to help me, that I was alone. Hopefully, when you learned to ride a bike, there was an adult that was gracious enough to help you learn, right? Okay, so I felt alone. There was nobody to support or encourage me and say, come on, Donnie, get up. You can do this again. Let's try it again. Get back on that saddle type thing, right? So there was no one to help, and there was no one to support. There was no one to protect me. I kept falling over and over again, and there was no adult that was able to, like, I had to figure out how to get back home with this bloody knee. And I honestly don't remember the whole moment. I don't remember if my mother was home and, you know, if she, cleaned up my scraped knee or not. I'm assuming hopefully she did. I don't know. But in that moment, there was nobody that was assisting me so that I would have been a little bit more protected. I might not have fallen down as much, or I might not have scraped my knee quite as badly as I did, right? Here's some of the thoughts I was feeling. Like, I can't do this. Like, there's a lot of things, you know, as a little girl, I was 6 years old. By that time, I had been dancing in the studio for a couple of years. And by the grace of God, dance and dance skill is just always something that came to me very naturally. But learning to ride the bike just wasn't, it didn't come to me like that. I'm not sure why. So then the thoughts of, I can't do this, or I I'm afraid to try again. So feelings and thoughts of distrust, not noting if I could trust myself to be able to get up and do it again successfully, right? Other thoughts and feelings that I felt in that moment, you know, was that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have even tried this. Like, this is a brand new thing, and you know, maybe I shouldn't have tried this, or maybe I shouldn't have tried this alone. I do believe if there had been a parent or an adult that was helping me, it would have been a lot better. So those are kind of all of the things that was running through my brain. And then the fear of, if I get back up and try it again, I'm just going to fail. Like, and it's going to be painful. I'm going to fall down again, and my other knee is going to be all scraped up. Okay. Granted, this is a very, when I say Mickey Mouse, I just mean that this type of traumatic moment is not, you know, one of these horrific things, you know, that people have experienced in life. However, I do remember for a period after that, and then even later in life, although I might not have correlated the two, here are the things that I struggled with mentally and emotionally anytime that I wanted to attempt to try to learn or do something that I had never done before. So riding a bike and learning how to do it by myself without any guidance or help. So that type of situation of attempting something new by myself, trying to learn something that I've never done before by myself, became something that I began to avoid quite a bit. I didn't want to learn. So for instance, you know, if I was on the job and there was a new task, I wanted somebody to be there with me for moral support, or I wanted somebody there to train me in how to learn this new skill. And so I got to a point where when I would be, and as an entrepreneur, oh my golly, there are so many new things that I've had to learn and master by myself. Like, and I've had to encourage myself. I've had to build that belief in myself that I can learn new things. I can master new things. And I may not learn it perfectly the first time, but I will get it done, right? So those types of past traumatic beliefs and fears and anxieties and things like that. Oh, and then the other thing that I associated with it was pain. That when you try to do something new that you've never done before by yourself, when you try to master a new skill and you don't have any guidance or support by yourself, that you will experience pain, that it will be a painful process, that it will be difficult and hard. Okay, I realize that maybe I picked that apart a lot and you're going, geez, can you really, you know, can that type of experience, learning to ride a bike as a 5 or 6 year old, can it really affect you that significantly? Absolutely. Absolutely. So as an adult, I can honestly tell you that I have had to fight through and press through that emotional anxiety of wanting to avoid and run away from learning new things without a teacher, a guide, or a coach, without moral support from family or friends. I've had to fight through that belief that learning something new on my own is going to be a painful, difficult, tedious process. Okay? So trust me, a traumatic moment like that in my past definitely began to affect my present in many situations as an adult. And this is how the scripture of as a man thinks or believes in his heart, so is he. So what I had to do was, and if you, again, if you will go back and you will reference all of the episodes in our Annihilating the Spirit of Fear, all of those scriptures, all of those techniques, all of those strategies, all of those processes are what I had to go through as an adult to learn how to no longer believe in my core beliefs, no longer believe in my heart of hearts that learning something new was going to be difficult or painful, that mastering something new without moral support was not something that I could do. I can do that. Number one, because, so I'm going to tell you the new mindset that I have now, but it did not happen overnight. So the new mindset that I now have about learning new things is this. I really do appreciate having someone to walk me through the process. And so there's been many times, you know, that God has allowed me to take a course, have a coach, have a mentor, have a buddy or what have you. But sometimes it's just not possible for me to have somebody alongside of me to guide me through learning a new skill or mastering a new technique, right? So what have I had to do? I've had to renew my mind that number one, I am never alone. That God, my wonderful Abba Father, that the Holy Spirit is with me at all times. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and teach you in all things. That means all things means all things, everything, right? So I've had to renew my mind with the word of God that the Holy Spirit is always with me and that he is a teacher, a leader, a guider, a counselor in all things. Therefore, I am never truly alone. I am never truly alone because the Spirit of God causes angels. He gives his angels charge over me to protect me, to lead and guide me in all of my ways. I am never truly alone because there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I am never truly alone because I am my beloved's and he is mine. I am never truly alone because I have been adopted and grafted into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am never alone. I am never without help. And if I need help, if I need physical assistance from a human person, all I have to do is ask and God will provide. So I had to renew my mind with all of those scriptures. I didn't even give you the references, but I had to renew my mind with all of those things until I was able to absolutely annihilate and smash and destroy the core belief that I was alone. And as a child, this is not a feel sorry for Dawn moment, but as a child, I was very neglected. I was alone a lot. And so me having to overcome that core belief that I'm always alone, that I can only depend on me, that there's nobody else that I can depend on, that there's nobody else that I can ask for help, that I'm the only one that is going to support or encourage myself. All of that is malarkey. All of that is nothing but lies from the enemy that he told me a long time ago when I was first learning how to ride a bike. Okay, so what else did I have to renew my mind to believe? I had to renew my mind to believe that I began to ask God's perspective, because the Bible says that the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives and dwells in me and will quicken my mortal body, right? The Bible says that that same Spirit of God that rose Christ from the dead is the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. That dunamis power of God is the power that is associated with riches, substance, and wealth. That dunamis power of the Holy Spirit is also associated with creative miracles, miraculous signs and wonders. That same Spirit of God that rose Christ from the dead, that lives and dwells in me, it is associated with so much strength that it is in like the Old Testament, it is associated with hosts of armies, with huge chariots of fire. So that power of God is resident in me, and it's resident in you if you have a relationship with God. So that means that if I'm going to learn something new, if I'm going to master a new skill, the Spirit of God, the power of God that is within me, gives me all of the strength and the ability that I need to learn and master that new skill, that new situation that I've never been in before, right? I also had to renew my mind with the Word of God that God would send people to help me, that God would send resources, he would send people, he would send education or instruction if I needed it, that not only am I never alone because he's always with me, that not only am I more than equal or powerful for the task because of the power of the Spirit of God that is within me, but I also had to begin to renew my mind with the Word of God that God would provide everything that I have need of in this new situation that I've never been in before. That if I needed destiny helpers, if I needed somebody to help me, all I had to do was ask and he would send them. If I needed money or resources of some way, all I had to do was ask and that he would send them. And of course, in all of that, of course, I had to renew my mind with the Word of God to begin to actually believe that God's word was true. Okay, I'm going to wrap everything up. Here we go. All right, so first of all, before I wrap things up, I don't want to say if this is ministering to you, I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that first of all, that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The dividing of soul and spirit is, soul is that part of us. It is our mind, will, and emotions, our psyche. Spirit is that eternal part of us that will live forever in the presence of God. Our spirit knows that God's word is true. Our soul is the one that doubts what it is, and that is the part of us that we have to renew, right? So I don't want to say if you've been blessed by this episode. I'm going to say I know that you have been, not because I'm wonderful, but because he is amazing. I want you to go to either my website, which is dawnchurchill.org, or my institute, which is Dawn Churchill Institute on teachable.com. If you haven't already gotten my 21-day mindset reset coaching course, and the things that I've been teaching is ministering to you, you have to get it, because it will teach you step by step all of the strategies that you need to know of how you can take a past traumatic moment and turn it into a beautiful thing in the present that no longer holds you back, especially in the area of fear. So fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, distrust, especially in the areas of anger, rage, hostility, impatience, frustration, and in the areas of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Those are really, in my opinion, those are probably the three greatest negative strongholds that impede the body of Christ from walking in the supernatural love, joy, and peace of God, from walking in the supernatural provision, protection of God. So I want to encourage you to go to both of my websites. But what I want to tell you is that I am not the only one that has learned how to master this process. I'm also still in a continual state of God renewing my mind. Like all the time I'm discovering little nuances of past traumas that have been healed, but then maybe that part of my belief system hasn't been completely brought to resolution. And that's what I want you to have for you. This particular broadcast, which is Gaining the Master's Edge, this is meant to bring you to a place of awareness of why do you sometimes feel stuck in your life? Why are certain things just extremely difficult for you that you're not able to press through? That even when you try to renew your mind with the Word of God, you keep coming up against this internal resistance or internal resistors. I'm telling you right now, the internal resistors, 9 times out of 10, are faulty belief systems, faulty belief patterns that have been created in past traumatic moments. And maybe your heart, I'm hoping, maybe your heart has been healed from those past traumatic moments, but your core beliefs are still not healed and renewed. So as we close today, I'm just going to pray a blessing over you that you will be able to take what I've released today, that you might even be able to begin implementing it today in the present. And over the next week or so, as we wrap up this mini series on triggered traumas, or then you will understand what are those internal boulders, what are those internal rocks of resistance that God wants you to gain victory over, so that you can press through into the abundant life that He has for you. Okay, I'm gonna pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you and we thank you for this day. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that every person under the sound of my voice, that you would begin to reveal to them what are the specific internal strongholds, internal areas of resistance, internal blockades, Father God, that are blocking them from walking in the abundance of your love, your joy, your peace, your health, your wealth, your prosperity in their present life, in the name of Jesus. Father God, what are those internal resistors that are even separating them in their relationship with you? If they don't feel a great amount of connectivity with you, Father God, what are those internal things that are seeking to be hurdles or obstacles to them having a passionately intimate a relationship with you, Father God? In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that each and every word that I've spoken today, the expertise that you've given me, Lord, that the mastery that you've given me thus far, in the name of Jesus, as you have freely given to me, I freely give to them. In the name of Jesus, I pray that each one of them would have a new anointing, a new power, a new strength, and new encouragement and hope that, Father God, they indeed are capable of learning these things so that they can press through into the life that you have always desired for them to have, the life of destiny and purpose, the life of peace and abundance that you have always intended for your sons and daughters to walk fully in the present, in this present day. So in the name of Jesus, Father God, I ask for windows of heaven blessings being poured out upon them now, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Okay, you guys, that is it. I pray that you have a wonderful day. Make sure that you stay tuned next week as we continue our series on stored trigger traumas.